The Ghost Rap Podcast is brought to you by Forvis Mazars, an internationally integrated partnership operating in over 100 countries and territories, including South Africa, delivering audit and assurance, tax advisory, and consulting services to clients. Please note that everything you hear in this podcast is my own opinion, not the view of Forvis Mazars. April may have been filled with public holidays, but that doesn't mean that we didn't see some meaningful moves on the local stock market. For this edition of Ghost Rap, I decided to filter for share price moves in April of 10% or more in either direction. Now, this is rather different to looking at year-to-date moves, because some of the significant activity earlier in the year is still baked into those year-to-date numbers. For example, a number of the clothing sector names still haven't recovered from the horrors of January, but there hasn't been nearly as much action since then in those names. By looking at just April, we are looking at recent momentum. It's also important to note that I focused on companies with larger market caps in this analysis. Small cap and even some mid cap companies with large bid offer spreads can show substantial percentage moves in their share price for reasons purely related to liquidity rather than underlying trends in sentiment and earnings. Also take note that there may well be names that moved slightly less than 10% over that period, which means they wouldn't come up on this stock screener. You have to pick a cutoff at some kind of number. This episode is therefore meant to just give you a sense of where some of the recent momentum has been, both positive and negative, rather than an exhaustive list. And with that, let's start with the droppers before we get to the whoppers. Let's just get Anglo American Platinum, or AmPlats, out of the way here because it bucks the positive trend we've seen in the broader platinum sector. The company is on the cusp of its demerger from Anglo American, so there's just a ton of noise in this one, and the share price has actually been all over the place. Given the strong performance of the platinum sector this year, I'm happy to chalk this one up to an anomaly rather than a useful insight. So onwards we go. As for Sasol, I'm afraid it is a tragedy rather than an anomaly. Down around 16% in April, the market just cannot find any love in its heart whatsoever for Sasol, having further punished the stock on the basis of broader recessionary concerns and a production update that was filled with bad news about coal quality and the impact that this is having on Secunda operations. Although the announcement did have some positivity in it regarding the recent performance of Transnet Freight Rail, this wasn't enough to improve market sentiment towards the stock. And even when Sasol does seem to catch a break, like when the average sales basket price for the international chemicals business moves higher, they suffer a knock to production that ruins the numbers anyway. Sasol is a stock that I would not want to own in a recessionary environment filled with nervous punters. For large investors to get behind Sasol, we need to be in serious risk-on territory. Thanks to what's going on in global politics right now, I don't think we are in a risk-on environment, and whilst I completely understand with cyclical stocks that you are supposed to buy them when things look really bad, you do have to wonder what the catalyst will be for improvement at Sasol. Now, much as Sasol is known to be a risky asset, we cannot really say the same about Aspen. They are in the pharmaceuticals game, particularly in manufacturing and distribution of drugs, and investors would see this as a blue-chip stock. In fact, they would probably be tempted to refer to it as defensive. Sadly, there is a difference between being defensive and being a wide moat business. You can be in a defensive sector, but if your market positioning is relatively weak, for example, because you don't really have the power in the value chain, then you can still end up having a pretty bad time. Aspen took a 24% dive in April based on the market panicking in response to an announcement of a material contractual dispute that could hit EBITDA at Aspen by 2 billion rand. That is a very big number. The broader issue is that Aspen's business model is vulnerable to US tariffs, which are likely to impact global supply chains and where things are actually manufactured. If there's any silver lining for Aspen right now, it's that at least the share price did find some support, bouncing off the 52-week low of 105 rand and 75 cents to reach a closing price for April at just over 124 rand, but as I mentioned, unfortunately still a long way down for the month. Onwards we go to the whoppers, or the winners, with a reminder that the local market really does love quality stocks. Even though they do tend to trade at demanding multiples, they are seen as relative safe havens on the local market. The multiples never seem to unwind, with the share price simply moving in response to earnings. Capitec is a perfect example, perhaps it's the best example actually. up 11% in April, the market adored the results for the year ended February 2025. And why not? Headline earnings were up 30%, the dividend was up 34%, and there were a number of other really encouraging metrics as well, like growth among high earners and the rather insane market share that they enjoy among the youth population. Sure, a major economic knock to South Africa won't do their impairments any favours, but this is not stopping the market from buying into this growth story. Capitec is a wonderful example of the power of winning market share in a lucrative profit pool, even if the broader economy is not growing by much. And yes, the traded multiple certainly suggests that this should all be priced in, but that's just not how the local market seems to work. These quality stocks just stay expensive. Now, PSG Financial Services also came out of the PSG stable, just like Capitec, and just like the bank, it is seen as a high-quality business with a wide moat and great growth prospects. The trick at PSG is the distribution network, which helps gather assets that are subsequently managed or at least administered by the group, of course, for a fee. The recent results show that the model works, with the share price up more than 14% in April. Strong businesses get rewarded in tough markets, and although PSG is exposed to overall levels of wealth and where the market is sitting, they have proven an ability to grow in almost any conditions, and that's important. The third high-quality local business that got the market excited in April was Clicks, with a move of around 16.7%. Like the aforementioned companies being Capitec and PSG Financial Services, this was a results-driven move based on Clicks seeing improved numbers in its wholesale business and ongoing solid numbers in the retail business. Diluted headline earnings per share was up 13.2%, and there are a lot of strong defensive categories in the Clicks business model, supported by arguably the best rewards program in the country. And to close off, I think it's worth noting that not all market moves are explained by news flow. The three positive moves that I've mentioned here were all supported by earnings releases. But Woolworths was up more than 12% in April, although it did come under some heavy selling pressure towards the end of March, so that gave it a low base. But there wasn't a single important sales announcement from the company in April, yet the pressure only continued for the first week before the stock caught a bid. So these movements are driven by other factors like portfolio rebalancing by major institutional holders, as well as general market liquidity and key levels that traders watch for. Now, this is why you can never just blindly use stock screeners in order to find trends, because you need to recognize that there's a big difference between a meaningful move based on fresh earnings news, for example, or some kind of deal, versus a move in a share price from general volatility. Redefine Properties, another good example by the way, up around 10.5% in April and without releasing a single relevant SENS announcement. So aside from a couple of names that don't have obvious explanations for the move, we can take a lesson from what we saw in April. The best names on the JSE, the high quality companies, are entirely capable of staying expensive, even when there's broader economic turmoil. In fact, that seems to be the case, especially when you have a risk-off environment and all of this economic turmoil. When these high-quality companies release results, the market is just looking for confirmation that things are still heading roughly in the right direction, and these high multiples seem very capable of staying expensive.
And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Wrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.